First of all, thank you for taking time out of your evening to be with us tonight, and to just this shows us that your love for the church and what the church means to you, and you know, your care for the church. And this is actually the very first time I've actually conducted one of these meetings. I've been to many of them, but actually leading one, this is a first. So so bear with me in all the little things here and there. And hopefully this will be on my face a lot because of a lot of good things that our church has done. But as we get started, I'm sure we might have a few folks more coming in, Lord willing. But we're going to go ahead and get started, and just appreciate everybody taking the time to be here tonight. In my preparation for this, my desire is always to glean on the Word of God for everything that we do. And something that came across to me, and maybe it's just because it's in the English Standard version of this, but I thought this was appropriate. It's I want to read you a scripture from the book of 2 Corinthians. And my little note thing's not going anywhere. Eventually you just give up. It's 2 Corinthians. And then Paul's giving final warnings. He's just making the church aware of different things you just ought to be thinking about. And then at the end of it, he starts to use words that really hit home. I want to read verse 5, and I want to read probably just a few here verses here and there. Nothing long, but just help set the tone a little bit. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, and do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong, that you may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. And then it goes on in verse 11 to say, finally, brothers, and we even include sisters here, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And he goes on to talk a little bit more about this grace and this peace and this love. But the word, key word to me, I thought was very interesting, is restoration. And it seems like at times, you know, in the life of a church, you go through that. You go through a restoration of who you are. And ever since Megan and I were led here by the Lord in 2017, right at the very end, it's something that is a word that kind of connects in with this idea of hashtag love on. It's a restoration. It is a restoring of what our church is to be. And that's what I hope and pray that as we go through some things that we talk about tonight will help us. Because in some ways, our church is still in restoration. We are still picking ourselves up. We are going in the right direction. But it's a matter of being transparent, being in the know, and understanding different things. The successes and the things that we need help with, and that we need to know, that you need to know, in order for us to keep moving forward as a church. So let me take a moment right now and just pray over our time together. And then I just got a few things I just wanted to share as far as some things that we'll just look back at, some good things that have taken place. So will you join me in prayer right now? Heavenly Father, as we come before you, and we thank you so much for who you are. God, for me in every prayer, I pray that. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being so amazing, so incredibly faithful, indescribably good, an awesome God. And I pray, Father, that that's our attitude when it comes to you. Not what we're thinking about, what we need or want or so forth, but just to acknowledge you and give you glory. So know our hearts, God. Help us understand as a church, we long to glorify you. And there's times where we'll do things and they succeed, and they will do things and they don't quite work out like we hope they would. But Father, overall, we are continuing to push forward in being your hands and feet that carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we talk about the state of our church, where we're at, being transparent with some things, just being real with some things too, I pray, God, that we will open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our ears to your Spirit leading in this. And so, Lord, bless us as we go through a few things tonight, and just edify one another and grow and push forward and continue to be a church of restoration. We delight our church movement being the restoration movement, where we're trying to restore the things that made the early church so special and so successful. And Father, that's our hope, that we can be that as well. So Lord, bless our time. In Christ's name, amen. Well, there was a lot of different things, a lot of great things that have happened over the past couple of years since Megan and I came. And that's what I just want to kind of start off with, just kind of highlight some of the things that we've moved forward on and doing some wonderful things. The biggest thing that really stuck out to me, especially this past year, that we had 5 baptisms. That we had people who were pursuing Christ, took the steps that they needed to take, and gave their lives to Christ, and they were baptized. It was wonderful to use that baptistry a lot this past year. I pray that we have many more opportunities to do that, because that is truly a sign of a growing church, is when you see lives changed and you see Christ followers come. So we had 5 baptisms. We also had 2 transfers. And so in the time that Megan and I have been here, we've had 6 total baptisms and about 4 membership transfers. So those are good things to really think about, and that we're making strides in a lot of different ways. As far as some of the improvements around the building, obviously the safety cameras, the security cameras that we put in place because of our really an emphasis on understanding church safety, especially when you hear poor Texas. Man, maybe we need to go down there and do a seminar for those Texas churches, John. I don't know. But I tell you what, it shows that at any given moment, if something does bad happen, we have people in place, and John McVeigh has spearheaded that. And so thank you, John, for your love for this church and the desire to provide an environment where we are safe. Now, let me show you a show of hands. How many of you worry about someone coming in here if somebody comes in and tries to make a ruckus? Does anybody ever worry? Yeah. We don't have to worry. And we are, not only do we just, the Spirit of God is with us, but we also have a safety team in place that allows us to have that environment. So I just want to applaud you there, John.
Really, seriously, thank you.
I know it takes more, but it's, as one of my favorite TV shows said, one man can make a difference. I know. But thank you. So we have our safety team in place. We have the security system in the back. We've worked hard on that. The parking lot, the makeover, and how that was a church-funded, as far as above and beyond giving, project where that we appreciate a lot of people who took the lead on that, and the person I have to actually give credit is Larry Powers for really spearheading that and to really keep that in front of people. I had an interesting person, I'm going to keep them anonymous, said to me, "Chip, man, this looks great. I feel like now I'm not coming into a place that might look abandoned. It looks like there's life happening." That's huge. And that person's been a longtime member of this church. For them to say that we would take and put that kind of care into being a church that's attractive for people who are coming in. And that's a big thing. That's huge. So thank you, Larry, for all your hard work in that. Seriously. We have seen spurts and glimpses of what our church could look like. And the biggest one that we saw was from our 30th anniversary. A lot of people took a lot of time and planning to put that all together to get the word out about it. And that day, we had over 100 people here. And that is, and the whole service itself was amazing. The fellowship afterwards was amazing. Lots of great things that, to me, can be a sign of things to come. A sign where if we really decide, you know, we want to grow, we will come together, we'll figure some things out, we'll step outside of the box and do some things that can get people to fill these seats. We've had a few times where we've had people who've come in to use our facility, but we've also had people, we've had groups come in, like the Farmhands Quartet, the Bobby Bowen family, and so many other different where there's lots of people, the seats are full. And so we've seen glimpses of what our church can be when we open our doors, when we let people know who we are, just being good neighbors, and allowing us the opportunity to use this facility like it should be. And so, but what's even more important is the people that make this church. And I know that our Lord is going to bless us in great ways. That way we can potentially one day build to 100 people. And I know it's there. We're capable of it. And it's just a matter of putting some things in place that will help that to happen. We all know some of the issues that we've had with our sound, especially on a Sunday morning. You were suddenly always hearing some sort of crackling. You're always hearing something where there just was never found that quite that balance. And this was another project that was funded above and beyond our regular giving. And it was an incredible thing of a blessing that was. And now this is probably the best I've heard the sound, just with one microphone and everything that we've been doing. So for everyone that helped with that project, from putting it together, getting the speakers up, getting it connected, and so forth, it's little things like that that have helped bring the quality of what we're trying to do as a church when it comes to our worship services or offering special other events and so forth that, you know, it ain't cookie cutter. This is quality things that we're putting in place to really improve what we're doing. We even recently got a awesome new smart TV that you can roll in the different classrooms. You can has a Blu-ray player to go with it. That too is a special donation above and beyond. And I think in a couple of weeks, actually, we're going to actually do a movie night with that. So, you know, that's been a blessing in itself. And the cart on it, the mounting rack that's on there, allows it to move around. And I am guilty of one thing. I broke a cardinal rule, and that is I've moved it by myself a few times. I'm sorry, John. No. Okay. That's right. I could list so many other things that has really gone well for our church. And I say those things to let you know we are moving in the right direction. We probably have had a couple of times here and there we've had a few stalls. But it's nothing that we haven't been able to overcome. And that's where I'm looking forward to 2020. I'm looking forward to seeing how things are going to work out in God's direction. So with that said, I want to bring to light a couple of things. And this is where I'm going to have the elders come and help out here with this. They've tasked me to keep this meeting going and keep it moving in the right direction here. This is the area we just want to be transparent in a couple of areas. But before I do that, I do want to say one thing because he is here tonight, and that's Steve Garner. Our partnership with the food bank, the United Methodist Church in town. Steve, it would be safe to say that without our donations, without even some of the funding that we've provided, they would be in worse shape than the families they're trying to help. And the need is great. Steve was telling me, correct me if I'm wrong, please. They recently switched their hours from Mondays and Fridays. And on Fridays, just Fridays itself, they're feeding 40 to 45 families every Friday. Is that number increased? Yeah, that's a week. So he's talking about you're serving close to in between 200, 250 families a month. And those aren't just the same ones all the time. I think they have a limit on the number of families that could come per year with things like that. So these are different families that are coming through. And our partnership with them they've not only sent thank you notes, I've had the actual gentleman come to the church and thank us for our partnership. Now, they've got other people partnering with them, but they really are appreciative of us and how much we've donated, the thousands of pounds of food that we've donated. And we do give financially to them. And that's an act of faith that we do that. But it goes, we are helping feed people here in Lexington and in Henderson County. Okay, our hands may not always be the ones distributing the food, but which Steve says, y'all can volunteer if you ever have a chance to do it. I'm sure it's eye-opening when you see that many families coming through and so forth, and they're just looking for food. You know, they're looking for the next meal that they're going to get. For as great as the economy has gotten better, there's still people in tough circumstances. So thank you, church. That's huge. And I want us to be a church that loves on our community in that way. But also at the same time, we have to look at some things in our church and just be open and transparent about where we're at and so forth. And so one of the first things that I'll start with is, and I have three things in particular, and at any point you want to discuss these, we can. Because this is a state of the church. This isn't just announcements and so forth. We can, if we need to work through some things, we work through some things as well. The first thing that I will say is I love what's happening on Sunday mornings. We're really just everything and different elements that we're doing, I really enjoy. But I know our church can be more. We can be more than just what happens on Sunday mornings. And I know that there's different things that take place. There's different things that happen in life, and you go through different things and so forth. But that's one thing I would love to see in 2020 is our participation level increase for things outside of Sunday mornings. For instance, I would love to see, we have some great Bible studies that are taking place right now. And sometimes the day may affect and so forth, but the fact that, you know, our church is to be the hands and feet of Jesus throughout the week. How do we make that? How can we make that more than just about Sunday? Now, granted, Sunday will always be a priority. Okay, always know that. Because that's where we're going to get the most people. As being in ministry in 20 years, when I was a naive minister, I always thought, man, we got to do more than just Sunday mornings, man. We got to be really going out there. And then I just got to slap a dose of reality. because Sunday mornings are special. They're important. That's where the church comes together. That's where the church of Jesus Christ fellowships, and they grow together. And that is vital. That is important. But we're also to be the hands and feet of Jesus throughout the week as well. If you're looking for an opportunity for a secondary method of growing in grace and knowledge, we do offer things like that. In fact, it's not just Wednesday nights I'm talking about, okay? We have a ladies group that meets on Mondays in the mornings. We have, at one point, that group was actually meeting on Fridays but they've combined it to where you can get the Word of God and you can make stuff, okay? And beautiful things, by the way. Man, I love what our sewing and craft group is doing, because they're just making things. They're taking on other initiatives like our backpack drive. And they also help make things that we can raffle off that are great mementos for different things that they do. But we also are looking for other ways. Some of our outreaches that we do. We have a few consistent outreaches that we do per year. For instance, the Festival of the Lakes participation that we've done before. We're evaluating that. The Henderson County Fair. And we're always continuing to look and see how we can get better at that. Last year, just for us, we did two special type of festivals. We did what we called a spring festival around our Easter egg hunt last year, and typically we do our fall festival at the end of the year. And then, of course, we do a participation in the Lexington Christmas Parade as well. So those have been some of the big ones that we have centered and had put more focus into. But we're also looking for other ways. Maybe we do have a contingency of people who can go and serve and be hands and feet at the food pantry this coming year. Can we also, you know, we're looking for a couple of one or two other initiatives where we can partner with some other organizations to have a booth at a place. Like last year, we looked into Relay for Life and being a part of that. We're actually considering opening and starting a booth, finding out how much that is to just be a presence there, passing out water bottles for people who are walking, for friends and family who are dealing with cancer. Different ways in which we can look at that. And then we're also considering other initiatives as well that will allow us those opportunities. So we're talking about ways in which that we can be more of a presence than just Sunday morning. Because the more that people see what we're trying to do, people, and even there's times where we're the only church that's out there. And that gives us a grand opportunity to do some really good things. So just little things like that we're keeping in mind as we go into the year. Any questions that anyone might have, or even some ideas as well. And obviously, in a setting like this, if you don't have anything, but if you think of something later, obviously, pour them on, bring them on. I mean, we'll look through what we think would be a really good fit for our church to do. So, any thoughts or questions there? Okay. The next thing I'm going to do is turn this over to John McVeigh and the elders here to give you an update on how things are right now when it comes to the financial state of our church. So, John, I will go ahead and turn this over to you. And
good afternoon. I'm just so happy that you came back for our meeting this afternoon. I wish we had a few more. It would be nice if we had more people here this afternoon. But we are recording this, and it'll be an audio recording. It's not a Facebook Live, so we're not broadcasting. This is for church members only. But we will make an audio recording available to anybody that wants it. And there might be a way to put it on the LCC page, but the Community Actions page, which is our closed group. But then we might have to worry about somebody sharing it. So it's not like we're saying a bunch of secret stuff, but, you know, still, we'll think about that. But anybody that wants a copy can have it. And I think we're going to probably hand out copies to people. Now this thing's in the way, Chip. So I'm really thankful for Pastor Chip and his vision for this church. And you heard some of the things he's talked about this afternoon. I personally think we're on a good path spiritually. We're on our way to making ourselves making the church become stronger and stronger in the community. So my function this afternoon is to talk a little bit about our financial stability, our 2020 budget. You've got I believe all of you have a copy of it. Even though the left column is cut off, that was only the header. The individual line items are still there, but we're not going to go over that. We're not going to discuss it this afternoon. We've only got a short time, so we can't do that. But I'm also going to talk about the importance of tithing. And basically, this is what I'm going to talk about is how do we make happen some of the things that Chip just talked about. You know, everything he talked about, all those initiatives, if you'll look on that budget, you'll find a light item for it. And it's not that we have said we're going to spend this. It's not that we said we've allotted this much money, because that's not what a budget is for. It just means that we are planning for it. And if we spend it, we've allotted for it, and hopefully we can adjust, we can improve our income through tithing and offering. And some of those things that he mentioned, by the way, the speakers, the TV, those were special offerings that were given by some people, certain people. And we just are so blessed to have people that have that kind of generosity. And we really appreciate that. As I said in my meditations last week, tithing is an act of faith. Faith that God is going to provide whatever we need. And I had a whole nother paragraph after that, that after I discussed it with Chip, I decided that wasn't the time or the place to go into that. But today is. And there are some things that we want everyone to understand. On a spiritual level, our church exists because of God's influence and His mercy. And that's just a fact. We are here with our doors open for the past 30 years only through His amazing grace. Many of you know the obstacles we've faced over the years. But on a material level, each and every one of us is also expected to do our part. You know, God works through many ways, but He works through us. Primarily, you know, we are the instruments on how we get things done or how things are done. On a week-to-week, month-to-month basis, our church is supported solely by each one of us, whether we're here or not, through our tithes and offerings. The church does not receive any grants or any funds from anywhere else. When we refinance with the bank, as we've done for every 2 to 3 years for the past 8 to 10 years, we're simply tapping our own equity, our own money. This is money that we all have given, okay? And that's just the way that we have found to use the system, so to speak, to keep ourselves going and keep this church funded when we don't meet our needs each week. Without generous and faithful tithing, we might not be able to live up to God's wonderful plans and expectations for us and this church. That's why it's so important that everyone tithe faithfully in our home church. As I said last week, tithes and offerings are between you and God. And that's true. One thing we want everyone to consider is that tithing is not just about you and your family. Tithing is also about providing for your church, whether you are here or not. A few of us, Pastor Chip and Megan, Anita and I, and perhaps a few others, for example, are sometimes concerned about what folks might think when they see the offering plate come around and we don't put anything in it. And that's been discussed. I mean, it's been said as a concern. Anita and I use online bill pay. We have for years and years and years. Up in Maryland, we used Bank of America, and then First Horizon, and First Tennessee, and now we're with First Bank. But they all have the same thing. You can pay your bills online if you want to. Nearly all banks have it. We simply set up the church as another payee. So when we pay the bills each month or each week, I set up an automatic withdrawal every Monday. Our tithe comes out. Every Tuesday, Diane receives a check from the bank. And she gives that to Keith, and he does the deposits. And we're not the only ones that do that. I believe there's one or two others, but not very many. But it is a very simple way to make sure that when you do your tithes and offerings, that it goes in and the church gets their money, the money that we need to do the things that we want to do every week, whether we're here or not. And so that's what we want everybody to consider. And that's another reason we might make sure that a lot of people get a copy of this particular recording, not only for Chip's comments, but for these comments too, because we want everybody to at least know that and consider that. So you may be wondering, why is John talking so much about tithes and offerings? You all have a copy of the new budget. That's a copy that I printed. Diane didn't do that. She didn't screw up that, cut off that thing. That was me. The numbers are slightly different on this copy than the ones that are in the foyers, just simply because this is the most recent that we discussed for our elders meeting that we held yesterday. It also, if you look on the back page in the bottom box, that's probably the most important thing to look at, and I'll tell you why in a minute. The number there that says average weekly offering, that's real. That's the 2019 average weekly tithe that this church received. So that is, it was $1,931.92. So we go over our budget every year in November, and we try our best to cut expenses. We go through our budget line item by line item, and we reduce it or we remove it. You might see some things crossed out or even zeroed out there. We also use a lot of what-if worksheets. And, you know, our budget is a combination. It's not a true budget. It's just a sheet of paper that we use to kind of get an idea of where we are and what we want to do. But it's a combination of real items. The first two sections are real bills. These are the ones that Bill pays. And he keeps us updated. He makes sure those are pretty close based on previous years and current things, whatever. He makes sure those numbers are pretty close. And then the rest of it from the bottom, the third box on down, third section on down, some of those are real and some of those are what we think we might want to spend. So we include that so that we can add that to what our weekly requirement. If you look in that bottom box on the back, you'll see the top number says there's a weekly requirement in that box. And that number is right now for this coming year is $2,430, roughly. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to need all of that. It doesn't mean we're going to spend all of that. It just means that we've got it in the budget, so it's not a surprise. There's unfunded things, too. And so we have to take those into consideration. And this is where we count on people sometimes to make a special offering to help cover some of those things. And the more and more that we can do that, the better off we'll be. But anyway, we use a lot of what-if worksheets, and I prepared one of those for our elders' meeting. I did not make copies of this for you guys because it's just a worksheet. So I'm not going to put that out for everybody to see. But what I did in that worksheet is I left the top two sections that Bill pays. That's our, you know, our electricity, our salaries, and you know, all the stuff that's required. And I zeroed out everything else. Even some of the things that we probably know we're going to have to pay, like office supplies and toner and ink and whatever. The donation to the food pantry. All of that is zeroed out in that column. Okay, and the reason we did that is we wanted to see where we stand. If we only pay what we absolutely have to. Now, if you don't see it on yours, but what I see here is that when you get down to the bottom, we are still in the red. We don't make enough each week to cover just the bare essentials of our expenses. Now, I've stopped looking at my sheet, so I don't know where I am. But what that means is that we've got to find some ways to change that, okay? But there's another thing that it means, and that is there's no point in arguing over individual line items in our budget. What's the point? You know, we don't make enough money to cover it even if it's not there. So, I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. This church is not going anywhere. Our doors are open, and they're going to stay open, okay? But the reason I'm talking about this, and the reason I'm talking about tithes and offerings, is that that's how it's going to change. Now, how do we do that? Well, we bring in people through the door. We bring in people, and we love on them. We tell the community about us. We pass the word. We put it on our Facebook page. We put it on our LCC Action page. We have people share Pastor Chip's sermons and the meditations and all those things, and we try to make our church attractive to people. I was criticized for saying that one time. Why do you want to make the church attractive? Well, that's not in that context. We're not trying to make it pretty. We're trying to make it useful and functional and somewhere that people want to come. And so that's one of the ways that we can do that. So we're under what we need by $231 a week if we zero everything out. Now, that's not bad. That's really two families donating. But we don't look at it like that because, you know what, one of the other things we've discovered is that X number of people coming through the door and sitting in the pew does not guarantee us X number of dollars in the tithes and offerings because everybody's in a different condition in their life. Some people give more than others. Some people don't give anything. Some people give more than their part. You know, that's just the way it is. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do that. In short, and I'm at the end of my talk here, somehow in the future, we as a church body, in order to meet that shortfall that you see on your sheet, 1931 was the average for 2019, it needs to be 2430, that's $500. Somehow, we all have to work to bring more people. Perhaps give a little more. I won't say how much. Anita and I have committed to giving a little more this year. We would like to, you know, for other people to maybe take that as a challenge and do their part. But again, that's between you and God. It's not us standing up here saying, you have to give. It's not like that lady I mentioned in my meditations last week who's Jewish. And they told her she couldn't come to temple until her and her husband caught up what they owed. And I didn't talk about it then, and I'm not going to talk about that now because that's just, I don't even know what to say about that. It's not biblical as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, we need to increase our giving by $500 a week to stop having to refinance every 3 years. We need to increase our giving to get the church back into the black. We need to increase our giving by $500 a week to start growing our programs and paying our staff a decent salary. But I'm going to repeat what I said at the start of this talk, and that is our church exists because of God's influence and His mercy. We are here with our doors open for 30 years through His amazing grace, and it is our intention to keep it going no matter what for as long as we have to. Thank you. That's all I got. Any questions? Thank you. If anybody has any questions about the budget and you want to talk about that, we can certainly do that later. You know, get with Larry, myself, Jimmy, or Chuck, and we'll be happy to go over, you know, the stuff that we talk about that we can. Some of the discussions we have are spirited. And we talk about a lot of things, but we'll be happy to share that with you. As Chip said earlier, transparency is important. We don't want anybody to ever think that we meet in secret and do secret stuff and make secret decisions and you guys never know about it, because it's just not that way. What we do is we try to make good decisions for the church, and you guys end up seeing most of that. The only time that it's ever in private is if it has to do with a personal situation, personnel situation, or somebody's, you know, having issues or problems, and none of that's anybody else's business. In fact, we elders may not even know about it if they're dealing with Pastor Chip. So, that's all I've got to say.
Appreciate that, John. Thank you. And again, if you have any concerns or questions, anything like that, anything that you need clarity on, that's what these fellows are here. We'll stick around later. We'll talk about it. And we want to work as one. Yes, we have a leadership structure. But just because you have a leadership structure doesn't mean there's a hierarchy. When you look at the local church, yes, you had the apostles, you had the disciples who spearheaded, but what did they do? They followed the command of Jesus. They said, we're going to teach these new disciples all that I have commanded you. And that's all they did. And they just taught, and they just kept each other in the loop. They shared with one another. They were there for one another. They fellowshiped with one another. And that is the spirit of a New Testament church. And that's what a New Testament church is about. That's what a Christian church is about. As we're continuing to be transparent, I do want to make you aware that we have a couple of ministries right now that are going through kind of a restructuring right now. And there's both of these ministries have the capability of being growth, what I call growth engines. What that means is that they have the capacity to, number one, add people to our church, and also make new disciples in the process. And it can be an attractive thing for new families. And one of those ministries right now that's kind of in a restructuring is our Hispanic ministry, to make you aware of. They usually, typically, you always see the group of folks that come over here and sit on this side. They've been very faithful, a lot of them faithful attenders and faithful members of our church. Well, recently, they have decided that their 4 o'clock hour was not being effective. They felt that it just wasn't pulling in like it used to, and so what they've decided is they've decided to discontinue that part of what they do. And sometimes when you hear things like that, it makes you go, oh my goodness, are we going to lose those folks? Let me go ahead and alleviate any fears. No. Okay? We're not losing those folks. Okay? But what they are right now is that they're in a transition phase. And what we want to do is we want to come alongside them, specifically Josue Sr., I always like to call him Josue Senior, the meat in the middle, Josue, and then Josue Junior, you know, because there's always, when you say Josue, all three of them will look at you like, well, in any case, we're in talks right now with Dora, with Josue, and soon Josue Senior about what the Hispanic ministry here at LCC is going to look like. That is a potential growth engine. Now, it's also a cultural thing too, because if you have any idea of how Hispanics look and view religion and look at Christianity, mainly it's primarily Catholic, but we do have folks who are, I mean, especially Josue Senior, we found out, Megan and I actually found out that they have connections, make sure I say this name right, sweetheart, with Chris Garcia in Estancia. Or is that right? Am I saying that right? Okay. And a mission that is a Christian church-based mission. Her name is Chris Garcia. Megan's dad has deep connections with them. And that we found out that those two know each other and have actually done things together. So there's a Christian church connection already within our Hispanic group. And that is a possibility where they have yet, there's still some folks in the community that have Hispanic ties, and we have a great opportunity to do something with a Hispanic ministry in that regard. So, you know, they're going through a restructuring right now of what they're doing. And that's always, that can be a blessing and a good thing as well. When something's not effective, sometimes you have to say, you know what, you tried, it didn't work out like you thought, and it's okay. Because guess what, that doesn't mean it's the end. It just means that there's this one thing that you tried and it didn't work like you were hoping it would. So they've actually discontinued their 4 o'clock hour. However, we are working with them to see what can we What's the next thing for our Hispanic ministry here at the church? I ask you to please pray over that. You know, or maybe you might know some folks that have Hispanic ties. They live here in Lexington, and they're looking. We actually had a gentleman who was a transplant from Texas. We haven't seen him that much because he works shift at Adient. His name's Omar. And Omar started coming to our church. And what was really awesome was that his family is ministry-related, and was looking forward to actually connecting with that group. His job has kind of kept him out of the loop right now, but I still reach out to him from time to time, keep him connected in that way. But he does translation very well. And I can imagine us seeing something that could help people who might speak English can translate into Spanish very well. So there could be elements where they might even have their own service again. But this time, adding more elements to it where it's more in the actual service, not in a classroom setting, but they actually use this part of the facility. They can use the activity center, anything of that nature. So just keep that in mind because, I mean, I know Josue and Dora. They're, especially Josue, very influential in the community with his business and so forth, and he's got a lot of influence in that way. So there's lots of different things there that we can do with Hispanic ministry. The other ministry right now that's in could be going through a restructuring as well, and it's another growth engine, and we've talked about it, and people have wanted it, but it's you go through seasons of it, and that's our teen ministry. Right now it's kind of about to go through a restructuring aspect of it too. And we know the vital importance of having a way in which we can connect with teenagers on a spiritual level. Because guess what? They don't think about it. We love them, but they don't think about it like they should. And we have to, sometimes as parents, as concerned church members and so forth, we kind of have to help them along and help them discover a faith of their own. And sometimes when you see something, you're trying to start something from scratch, okay? You have to kind of go through a testing phase to see what works, what doesn't. Being transparent, we started over a year ago, we launched a Wednesday night program. And for the first 3 to 4 months, it was doing pretty good. When the turn of the year came, some priorities changed, and we were only getting about 3, sometimes maybe 6 kids. Then, after the school year, it went through another transition phase. And then it got to the point where it was only about 2 kids coming. And then, over at the end of the holidays, and actually even this past Wednesday, we've had 0 kids. And it's been tough. You prepare, you do what you can, and when nobody is able to make it, whether it was sickness, whether it was homework, whether it was an extracurricular activity that's taking place, you know, that's where you always kind of run into what kids are plugging into and what's a priority for a kid. And sometimes the kids can dictate that. And that's where we kind of have to come alongside our own teens and help them. Now, one of the programs that's actually been very successful has been our Sunday morning. We've actually, because this is the area in which we get a lot of people, that's when we get the most teens. How many were there this morning, Lynn? Was it about 6? They've had as many as 10, 12, and we just plug them right there in the prayer room. Of course, you guys know you can be out in the activity center as well if you ever need that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we need something else so that the burden isn't just on Sunday mornings. Because we know that that is a vital growth engine for a church. Now, are we doing our part to raise the next teenagers? Yeah, Kids Zone is an important program. Kids Zone is doing good. You know, I have to talk to the leaders of Kids Zone to get their feelings on that, obviously, but they're averaging close to sometimes about 7-8 kids. They've had more than that. They've had almost 20. No? What's the typical average? I'll let anyone speak up there. 9 or 10? Okay. And some of those are young, but guess what? Some of them are going to be 5th grade and getting ready to go into 6th. And there's different talks right now as far as what we need to provide for our teenagers. So just being transparent, I will continue to offer Wednesday nights, probably all the way up through February. And if we're still not getting really a good participation, then we're going to do the exact same thing what the Hispanic ministry did. We're going to discontinue it. We're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to think outside the box. It is a not giving up on the teenagers. I don't want anybody to come out of this meeting tonight and say, oh, they've given up. Let the recording state no. Okay? We're not giving up, but we're also not afraid to fail and learn and figure out what works. Because the generation of teenagers that I used to work with about 10, 15 years ago is a different generation of kids right now. They got different interests. They got different things. Some things are nothing different under the sun. Okay? If you've raised children, you've had teenagers, you get it. You understand it. Megan and I will have that luxury in a few years. And there are going to be new things that they have to deal with and new different technologies that come out that get their gaze, that capture their minds. So how do we as a church come alongside our current teenagers to provide them a spiritual platform and help them recognize that that spiritual platform is just as important right now as it is, as it will be when they get ready to enter those college age years? Some will go to college, some won't. That's why I say college age, because at that point, if you're going to college, unfortunately, the church overall, not just the Christian church, we're talking about other denomination churches, Baptists, Pentecostals, anybody, are facing the reality that the university system will choke out what the church has tried to build. Okay? It's just a fact. Okay? There's an unfortunately liberal pool trying to squeeze out Christianity in the schools. That's why it's important to, who knows, maybe take an initiative at a local college or something like that. I know our church in Woodstock, when we were there, we're trying to partner with one of the campus houses, Kennesaw State University, which was close by. I know we have Union University, which is a school in Jackson, and a few others. And obviously we're in a rural area, so to speak. But the point of the matter is, and I don't mean to get off tangent necessarily, but the point of the matter is to understand, you know, for some of these kids in 2 years, a year, they could be going off to school and there's no spiritual foundation. That's why I appreciate people like Lynn Ivey and Sylvia Beatty who want that for these kids. We're looking for people who can take that kind of heart. It doesn't need to matter. You may even feel like you don't relate to them. The point of the matter is you're there for them. You're helping them to see how important it is to have a spiritual influence. No, they're not going to be Bible scholars. Okay? They're not always going to remember everything you teach them. But the fact of the matter is they know where love is. They know where hope is. They know who to turn to if they do get in a bind. That's the kind of spiritual atmosphere we need to create for our current teenagers. Yes, ma'am. And that's what, in some ways, in the recording aspect of this, I want the parent of the teen to hear this. I mean, the only person I see sleeping during my sermon sometimes is John McVeigh, but I'm just kidding, John Toe. I'm just kidding. Okay. The question was, it was just posed, was the fact that is there a kind of like a reward-based program that can help give an initiative for kids to participate in some of the things that we're trying to do? Maybe there's just one thing, you know, we got to come to grips with. Maybe midweek stuff doesn't work. Maybe there's already a lot of things that other people are doing and they could easily get plugged into when we're trying to start from scratch. You know that? And the fact of the matter is, you know, we may have to find something different where they're more free, where they're more, we may have to think outside the box as far as, You know, how do we get them together outside of a Sunday morning? That's another outside of the Sunday morning aspect that will help our church flourish in that regard. I'm seeing some wheels turn, and I think that's a good thing. So, okay. Or do we have people, and this is and it's another resource and it's another extension, but do we have people who would say, hey, listen, parent, I know you're busy. I know you got something going on. How would you feel if I came and picked your kid up? You know? Man, I've seen so many times where somebody who would take a minivan, or they would take somebody knew a 15-passenger van, or they would get together and they would just make a route and they would go pick up kids. Now, I know we're a little spread out in that sense, so it does need help with the parents. But at the same time, if you got some folks that are local, hey, I know some kids that would want to come, and hey, guess what? We're going to Dairy Queen. Yeah, they'll bring a friend with them. We'll go to Sonic. You know? I wish Big Cats was open on Wednesdays, but they're not. But the bowling alley. Monday through Wednesday, they're closed. Okay. So, you know, changing how we do things on Wednesday. I'm always an evaluator. I'm always looking at myself, and I'm my own worst critic at times. And so maybe what I've done, tried to do that was 15, 20 years ago just doesn't work anymore. And I'm not a youth minister necessarily per se anymore, but I still love our teens. I still love our kids. And if that means getting on and finding a different level, maybe it's online. You know how kids today are online doing different things. Maybe it's a TikTok, it's a vlog, it's podcast, you know, anything of that nature. And some of us are shaking heads, but here's the thing. I'm not saying that you have to do it, but what I'm saying is that we got to meet these kids where they're at. Okay? That's the bottom line. Because have your grandson Luke show you how that works. No. But how can we use an instrument like that for the gospel, for good? Because I guarantee you there's youth ministries that are already thinking about that. In fact, they're probably ahead of the game. Okay? And that's where we're just, let's research. That's probably more on my time more than anything else. But if you're thinking about what are kids into today, yes, they're into their devices. No doubt about that. I saw Josue Jr. this morning. I said, hey, man, let's see what you got there. Where's mine? He said, in the store. Hey, we used to do what's called a $5 challenge on Wednesday nights. My goodness, I had Little Caesars gift cards for $10 just to memorize scripture. I know that sounds petty, but at the same time, if he gets them in the Word of God, that's what's most important, right? What did Paul say? I will do all things for all people so that I might win some. That's what we got to do with our teenagers. So just know that the Hispanic ministry and our teen ministry are in a restructuring type way right now, but we have not given up on both of those ministries by any stretch of the imagination. With time getting away from us, because we did start a little late, but we're right at about an hour being together. So I'd like to close with one final scripture tonight, and it is in regard and based on what we've been talking about in our sermon series to start the year, and that is the gospel. The gospel message of Jesus Christ, it's the backbone of hopefully every church. It will be the backbone of our church. Not only are we a church that, I love what Jimmy said this morning, and I appreciated it a whole bunch, and him, that's what he said, we are a love-on church. We are going to love people where they are. We're going to love each other. Because here's the thing. We as a church, we don't have time for anything else. We don't have time to gossip. We don't have time to judge. We don't have time to just think completely of ourselves, because here's the thing about eternity. Eternity will be there, but this earth won't. Every day we draw closer to Jesus Christ returning. And there does need to be a sense of urgency in our church. There needs to be a sense of urgency in some of the practical things we've talked about. Like, we've got some projects that we're coming up with right now. I do want to mention one final thing before I talk about projects real quick. And that is our fellowship dinners. We're actually going to begin scaling those back some. We're not going to be doing them every month because one thing we've discovered is that our men's fellowship and our women's fellowships are two ministries right now that are doing really good. I applaud the ladies. And it's been a group effort. It's not just one or two people that are leading that. That's an entire group effort. And I know sometimes, ladies, it's probably a little bit of a challenge to try to figure out who's going to lead this month, who's going to lead that next month, and so forth. But the fact that you're passing it off and giving people opportunities to use their gifts and talents to put something like that together, you're on the cusp of something. It's something beautiful. It's wonderful. I think recently y'all had as many as 25 ladies as a part of those fellowships. Incredible. You know, us guys, we got our work cut out for us, but we're doing good. We've had about 8 to 10 strong come out, and it's about the fellowship. It's about just being together with men. We go through a devotional together. We eat good food together. I know a couple of folks that are some good cooks. Maybe I ought to make them cook a little bit from time to time, but hey, you know, the whole thing is that these are ministries that are thriving. And our fellowship dinners, we're only going to cut those down to centering them around special events. So, for instance, we know that we do a Thanksgiving dinner. And we're going to be talking, I'm going to sit down with Sandy and Dora here soon to flesh out some of those dates. We're actually thinking about doing one on around the weekend of Valentine's coming up. But we do know that the men are going to be cooking and serving the ladies. We're looking at Valentine's weekend. We're looking around doing a fellowship dinner around Easter time, not on the day like the Easter Sunday, not that, but just around that time frame. We're also looking at doing one possibly in August. We know in November, so there's only about 4 or 5 that we're doing. And I think that will. And while we love our dinners and so forth, you know, we have to respect the people that try to put those together. But what's going to take the place of those in some ways monthly is the ladies and men's fellowships to really center around them and invite some folks to be a part of that. That's another growth engine. Man, we got the volleyball net in the shed. We can set it up and tie it off. We're going to have to move some tables and everything. But, hey, we can put them to work and do that. And using the facility for that, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and outings like that, maybe that's something we're missing. So that's where, in the absence of a youth minister, we need some folks who have that kind of love and passion, who'd be willing to be here as a chaperone, who'd be willing to go on trips with the kids. And you know, that's tough sometimes, I know, with work schedules and things like that. But, you know, we have to make sacrifices as well for the church. That's an important thing also, and I hope the people who hear this recording hear this, because it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to get in a routine. You know, for me and Megan, you know, life's obviously changed for us in the last 6 months. But guess what? That's not going to stop us from serving this church to every ability we have, and even teaching the kids that we have been graciously given the same habits. You know what? You put them in ministry positions, you never know what's going to happen from that. So that's good stuff, guys. Really good stuff. Real quickly, a couple of things that we're looking at possibly doing as projects for the year coming up. We do know that we need to get our church sign lit up a little bit more. We're looking at getting the bulbs replaced. I know Larry's already talked with a couple of our deacons about that already. I heard him talking about it this morning to Josue. Get Rodney in the loop on that too, okay? So he knows that. By the way, speaking of which, because it is church members and so forth, Everybody knows Rodney had a hand in getting things taken care of with our AC problems that we had. So another kudos to you on that, sir, just to let you know that. He's humble about it. I appreciate it and everything, but he did a lot of hard work and had to get tough a few times with folks, and he's the right guy to do it. So thank you. Thank you, sir. We're also talking about one thing. Our church sign limits us what we can do. Now, we're not talking about replacing it, but we are talking about how can we utilize our signage out front better. And one of the projects that's kind of put on the back burner a little bit is our times of service being on our sign, maybe the bottom part of our sign permanently, so that we let people know. Because when I hear and ask people who come as guests or are new to our church, I ask them, how did you hear about us? I'm just curious because, you know, we're a small church in a whole bunch of lots of other churches here in Henderson County, and you chose to come to ours. What was the biggest difference? Sometimes I've heard them say, I saw when your service times was. Everyone else is, they're small. You have to go online. You have to go look. You have to take that extra step to go find out when the times of services are. There's times we intentionally don't change our sign and leave our time up on purpose because that's when people will know when our services are. And so we're trying to take the next step and see how can we make that permanent. So that's a project that we're working on. So, but I also believe that while the pastor's name, sure, it's nice to have up there, our times of services are more important. And that's a project that we're trying to, we've had a few people investigate it and look into it, but it's just been a project we put on the back burner. But I believe that's something that should be tackled in 2020. Another thing is, and it's a simple little project I hear that might be an easy fix, is lighting up our cross again. There's actually even been talk of painting the emergency doors, so they don't look like, rust on the outside. And there's even someone who's even gone above and beyond and said, well, not just the doors, let's paint the whole church building. And there obviously will be things that come up throughout the year. And we talked about this already, and John alluded to it, so I'll reiterate it again. Our budget's not going to be able to cover some of these things. And then that makes us go, well, where in the world is the money going to come from? Makes us wonder and question, and do we... Makes us question everything else that we're doing. That is why, just like your relationship with God, we do everything on faith. We trust that God provides. We trust that God will, if we believe in our heart, it's something that's important and it's a part of the kingdom. It's going to help with the kingdom work of God here at Lexington Christian Church through its people and so forth. Guess what? If you believe in your heart, what does he say? I'll give it. I'll make a way. And I believe that. Megan and I have seen that happen too many times to not believe that. I promise you. You want to talk to us about our experiences doing a church plant in Chicago and seeing God come through? I promise you. He comes through when you're focused on the kingdom work of God. If every single person in the church is focused on the kingdom work of God, he provides. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take a moment and have a prayer over this, everything we've talked about. You know, you want to stay behind and talk a little bit more? Let's do that. But here's what I'm going to encourage you with. Romans chapter 1. Looking at verse 16. I hope this will be kind of an anthem for us going forward this year. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The next part is to the Jews first and also the Greek, but here's the thing. Let us not be ashamed. Let's not be ashamed of our church. Has our church been through things? Yes. Some of you have been around to see some of those things that Megan and I didn't get to see. But guess what? The Bible also says, forgetting what is behind. and straining toward what is ahead, that I press on toward the goal to win the prize for that which is called heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's look forward, folks. We learn from the past, but we do our best not to repeat the past. We move forward, not afraid to try, not afraid to fail. What does they say? Thomas Edison created 99 ways in which not to invent the light bulb. And he got it on the 100th time. He just found 99 other ways that it didn't work. And that's okay. There's going to be times in our restructuring of things that we're going to do, it's going to be trial and error. Some things may work, others may not. But we can't be afraid of it. And so that's my prayer, that as we think about that, it's all for the kingdom of God. Everything we do, everything we say is about loving people where they're at, loving on each other, loving on this awesome community. That needs, there's still folks out there that need that love. And loving God and loving His kingdom and not being ashamed of the gospel that which we have. Will you join me in prayer? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the thoughts. Thank you for the words. Thank you for the transparency. Thank you for your Spirit letting us know where we're at. Lord, if there's something that we can do that's above and beyond what we're doing, whether that is getting more plugged in to a ministry that we know we hold dear, whether that is thinking about a person that needs to be encouraged with the gospel, that needs to be encouraged with a church home that they will get behind. Jesus, I pray that you will stir in our hearts whatever that looks like, whether that is sacrificing a few luxuries in life to give a little more in our tithe, whatever that looks like, God, help us to take steps in which that shows that the kingdom of God is dear to us. That Lexington Christian Church is a part of that kingdom. And that it has work to do. Jesus, give us the boldness and the courage and the wisdom and guidance to help us. Help us to have the wisdom and the boldness and the courage to take some of the things we've talked about tonight and share them with people in our church that need to hear this outside of just a recording. Lord, it takes a group of people that come together under one person. And that person is your Son, Jesus Christ. May we fall in love with Him more and more. May we find folks that need to fall in love with Him and help them see your love in a special way. Help us love on our church family, love on this community. And Jesus, we know you loved us first, but we love you.